Today on Hardwired.
God says, when you're being tempted to sin, I am going to give you a way of escape. I will not allow you to be unfairly tempted to the level that you can't help it and you end up falling because you were overwhelmed. He says, with the temptation, God will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it at our website, hardwired.org. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up in today's edition of Hardwired.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. You know, there's no doubt that we Christians are experiencing intense spiritual warfare on many levels. We read of major leaders tragically falling to temptation. And we ourselves are surrounded by various plots, plans, schemes to tempt or discourage us sent by the devil. And that's why I so love the Bible's promise that God faithfully provides a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Today I want to talk to you about the exit doors God points us to when temptation comes. How do we take them? And what those exits might be. And I believe this message is really going to encourage and strengthen your faith in your hour of trial. I'm excited to share part two of the message, The Way of Escape. Let's go.
1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul says, "For we must never forget, dear brothers, what happened to our people in the wilderness long ago. God guided them by sending a cloud that moved along ahead of them, and he brought them all safely through the waters of the Red Sea." Verse 2, chapter 10. This journey through the sea might be called their baptism, baptized both in sea and cloud, as followers of Moses, their commitment to him as their leader. Verse 3, "And by a miracle, God sent them food to eat and water to drink there in the desert. They drank the water that Christ gave them. He was there with them as a mighty rock of spiritual refreshment." It says in verse 5, "Yet after all these miracles, after all of this, most of them did not obey God, and he destroyed them in the wilderness." Everybody say, don't mess with God. He goes on, "From this lesson of them getting all these blessings and then not obeying God and then being judged by God, from this lesson we are warned that we must not desire evil things like they did, nor worship idols as they did. The scriptures tell us, the people sat down to eat and drink and then got up to dance in worship of the golden calf and not God." Verse 8, another lesson for us is what happened when some of them sinned with other men's wives and 23,000 fell dead in one day. Whoa. Then it goes on, "And don't try the Lord's patience. They did, and they died from snake bites." Verse 10, "And don't murmur against God and his dealings with you, as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel to destroy them." Now look at verse 11. This is very important. Why are these things in the Bible? This is heavy stuff. Why is it in the Bible? All these things happen to them as what, everybody? Say it with me. Examples. They were written down so that we would read about them and learn from them in these last days as the world nears its end. So be careful, verse 12, if you are thinking, oh, I'd never behave that way. I could never do that. I could never go that direction. I could never fall like that. That could never happen to me. Don't ever say that to yourself, because the message is you too could fall into sin. How many of you know that's true? Now in verse 13, and this is the one that I'm preaching on, but I wanted to give you the context of what led into this verse. Because he says, now in light of that you could fall, that they fell, and these things were written so that you wouldn't fall in the same way, let me give you a word of comfort in verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as common to man. But God is faithful. Can we say that together? God is faithful. Amen. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to stand. But with the temptation will also make, say it with me, the way of escape. The way of escape, so that you may be able to bear what you're under. Now, it's real important. We understand, before I unpack this verse, that the word temptation is not just a word that deals with us being drawn into something sinful. But the word temptation is from a Greek word that also means test or trial or dilemma. It's not just being tempted to do something wrong, but it's when you're in a drawn out trial that is testing your faith in God, your belief in Him, your trust in Him. It's testing you. So let's unpack it. First, Paul tells us you're not alone in what you're going through. I want you to say with me, I'm not alone. So God Himself is telling us through Paul that we are not alone in what we're going through. No temptation, including test, trial, calamity, or affliction, has overtaken or laid hold of you that is not a common experience to all people. You're not alone. You know, I've noticed this about the devil. He likes to make us think we're alone. And nobody can understand what our pain is. Nobody can really identify with us. The devil likes to isolate and paralyze us through loneliness. And one of his lies is what you're going through, nobody can understand it because it's unique to you. There is nobody going through what you do. Paul assures us no temptation, no test, no trial that you're going through is unique or unusual. Others are going through the same thing as you. And that's a comforting thing. Are you battling a physical disease? Millions of other Christians are battling the same thing. Has a spouse walked out on you and left you alone and isolated? Countless other believers, believe me, are experiencing the same thing throughout the world. Have you lost a child to rebellion even after you taught them the word of God all the while they were growing up? The Bible says that you're not alone in your suffering. Many, many other believers are experiencing exactly the same thing throughout the world. Have you lost a job and you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill? You are not alone. People all over this city who love Jesus have experienced the same thing. And the message of the Bible is God's going to pull them through and He's going to pull you through. The same God that is helping them is helping you. The same God that gave them another job is going to give you another job. The same God that came through for them miraculously is going to come through for you miraculously. We are not in this alone. We are in it as a family of God. So comfort one another with that knowledge. Amen? Amen. So say with me, I'm not alone in what I'm going through. Now, the second encouraging word is, God has His hand on the dial of your trial. Listen to what He says. God is faithful. I love those three words. I could park right there and preach the rest of this service on those three words. God is faithful. God is faithful. See, I put my trust in God, but not just the word God, but the God the Bible reveals to me. And what does the Bible tell me? He's the God of comfort. He's the God of hope. He's the God of strength. He's the God of healing. He's the God of provision. And He is the God of faithfulness. He is faithful. When people walk away, He walks in. When I feel completely alone, I'm never alone because God is faithful. Lo, I am with you even to the ends of the world. I will never leave you, never forsake you. How can Jesus say that? Because He is faithful. He is full of faith. Faithful. Faithful. He's faithful to you and to me. The Bible goes so far as to say is even when we are not faithful, He is faithful because He cannot deny Himself. And you as a child of God are connected to Him. And if He denied you, He'd be denying Himself. And He's not going to deny Himself. He is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Now, look how His faithfulness manifests. He will not allow you to be tempted, tried, or tested beyond what you are able to stand. The Bible promises that our tribulation produces patience, and patience, character, and character, hope. I can tell you, looking back over my Christian walk with God since I was really 18 years old, and I can tell you that over and over again, God has proven himself faithful. He always led me, always guided me, always provided for me, always stepped in at 11:59. He never allowed the devil to get victory over me. He led me from victory to victory and faith to faith. He always opened up that necessary door, and he always faithfully closed that door I didn't need to be walking through in the first place. My God has always been faithful. He strengthened me when I didn't think I could take another step. He gave me peace in the middle of the storm. He gave me a friend when I needed one. He guided my steps, led my way, touched my heart, anointed his word in my life. Thank God for the faithfulness of God. Can we lift our hands and say, he is faithful? Come on, he is faithful. Now say right to the Lord, say, Lord, thank you, you are faithful. So say with me, I'm not alone in what I'm going through, and God is faithful. His hand is on the dial of my trial. Amen. Now, the third thing I want to just take from this verse before I close, he will provide, he said, he will provide an exit door that you may be able to bear it. What a promise. Now, this goes to the heart of who God is. The Bible says that God never tempts us to sin. God tests our faith, but he never tempts our flesh. Okay? God will test your faith, which purifies it. A testing of your faith is like working out with weights in the natural. You're not going to get more muscular unless you pick up something that's heavy for you. And when you pick up something heavy for you, you get more muscular. That's what the testing of your faith is. If God gave you easy stuff all the time, your faith would never get muscular. But God's got to let you and I experience things that test our faith so that when we come out on the other side of the testing, it's more muscular, it's more effective, it's stronger. Are you with me? So God says, when you're being tempted to sin or you're in a trial that is taxing you to the limit, I am going to give you a way of escape so that you will be able to bear. I will not allow you to be unfairly tempted to the level that you can't help it and you end up falling because you were overwhelmed. He says, with the temptation, trial, or test, God will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, the word for escape here is ekbasis, and it means not just out from, but to or toward something else.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Now, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the program at our website, hardwired.org, along with all of the programs from Pastor Jeff. Also, we regularly get emails and calls from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we would love to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111 or through the website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. Or call 877-884-3111. And now let's get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now watch this. This is the way God works. He says, I'm not just going to take you out of something, but I'm going to take you out to carry you in. God always delivers us from that he might deliver us to. God always takes us out so he can take us in. The Bible says he delivered us out of the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. God takes us out. He opens a way of escape, but that way of escape also leads in. When God saves you, he saves you out so he can bring you in. When he delivers you from sin, he brings you out of it so he can bring you also into a place of safety. He doesn't leave you standing there not knowing what to do. He said, now I've taken you from here so I can take you over here. God carries us out so he can carry us in. See, you're not in Turning Point by a mistake. But God was dealing with you before you ever knew a turning point existed. He was dealing with you. He carried you and convicted you, brought you to the foot of the cross. You got saved, gave your heart to Jesus. The Holy Ghost came to live inside of you. But then God said, now let's take the next step. I have brought you out of your sinful context so I can bring you into a righteous context and into a righteous place of safety. Amen? Where we are strengthened and helped. Now, here's the message that I want us to get out of this last part of verse 10. God gives us an open road, but we've got to travel it. God will make a way, but we've got to cooperate with him and get in the way and follow the road he's given us so that he can carry us into a place of safety and strength and nurturing and wholeness and usefulness. God makes a way out, but we've got to cooperate with him and walk with him as he carries us in. Amen? And this can work in so many different ways. You know, all these doors, you look at these doors, they say exit, don't they? There's an exit door. Now here I am, I'm in a place where I'm being tempted to sin. And God says, here's the exit door. You see it? Flash, flash, flash. You can't miss that green light. I can see it. I can say, yep, there's an exit door, but it doesn't do me any good if I don't walk through it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And when God opens up an exit door, whatever the temptation is, temptation to idolatry, making something else God other than God in our life, lust, a wrong relationship, a wrong habit, and God says, I'm giving you the power and the grace to be freed. I am not going to allow this to tempt you beyond what you're able to endure. There's the exit door. But then we have to say, I'm going to cooperate with the grace of God, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to run through that door. And I'm going to go to the other side. And I'm going to let God carry me to a place of safety. I'm not going to sit here and look at it. It doesn't do me any good to look at the door and not walk through it. That door is useless to me if I don't walk through it. It just looks kind of pretty if I don't walk through it. A door is made for one thing, to go through it. And God said, I'm going to make a way of escape so that you can bear it. There it is. You see the exit sign shining. It might be a sudden sense of strength and grace in your heart, a sense that I can get out of this thing, I can run. But then you've got to take that strength that God gives you at that moment and run. You know, I've learned, respond to the grace of God quickly. Respond to the strength of God quickly. Because if you sit there and look at it, but don't take advantage of it, it has a way of lifting. When God gives strength, when he gives grace, we're to take it and yield to it and cooperate with it and run with it and go through the door to the other side to a place of safety. How many Christians have been in the middle of a temptation and God opened an exit door and they didn't take it? Oh yeah, I see it. There it is. Oh yeah, that's an exit door. Yep, that's an exit door. That sure is an exit door. But I am not going to take it. And they fall into sin. No, I tell you that in the presence of every temptation to sin, there will be a moment somehow, some way, where God will open a door of escape. And he will say, take it, run through it, walk through it, open that door, take advantage of it, cooperate with the grace of God. And if we do, we will be saved from a fall. He wrote these things so that we would not do what they did and fall into what they fell in. But for us to have victory, we've got to take the door. Say with me, take the door. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? And you know what? It's not just talking about temptation as something sinful, something fleshly. But it's also talking about when you're in a trial or a test that is taking you to the place where you feel like, I just can't take anymore. I can't take anymore. I need relief. I need God to help me. I need God to strengthen me. I need God to show up. I need an answer. I need God to speak to me. I need God to do something, because it's not a temptation to something fleshly and sinful, but what I'm in is a trial of my faith that is taxing me to the limit, and I don't know how much more of this I can take. And Paul says he also gives a way of escape for that. And we say, well, what is the way of escape if I'm in a trial that is taxing me and testing me and I see no way out and it's more than I can take? The way of escape, listen to me, is the peace that passes understanding. When God doesn't take us out of a trial, he gives us victory in the trial.
He makes a way of escape, not circumstantially, but he makes a way of escape internally by the peace that passes understanding. The way of escape is God's peace. He puts peace in the place of worries, stress, fear, and anxiety. Listen, I escape every single day. I escape. I go through a way of escape every day. You say, Jeff, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. I wake up and there's all kinds of things I could worry about. I could be afraid of. I could be thinking about COVID, thinking about our church being hit so hard. I could be thinking about financial things. I could be worrying about this, that, or the other. And it could become more than I can bear. But I've learned every day to take the way of escape, because you know what? God gives me an exit door out of those emotions every day. And you know what the exit door is? The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. See, I escape from worry and fear and anxiety and angst and stress every day by opening up the mighty, powerful Word of God. And as I read the mighty, powerful Word of God, it is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intents of my heart. It strengthens me. It encourages me. It picks me up. It gives me peace. And as I get into the Word of God and pray, I escape the thieves of worry and fear and stress and angst and anxiety. He will open a way of escape that you may be able to bear it, but it might not be out here. It might be in here is where the door is that he opens. Amen. Paul said this. You want to escape? You want a way of escape? How many of you don't want to walk in worry and don't want to walk in fear and don't want to walk in lust, and don't want to walk in anxiety? None of those things. How many of you feel that way? Come on. All right. You're either going to be subject to them and tormented by them, or you're going to take the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The way of escape is right here. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, everybody say if. If you don't, this isn't real. But if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and keep your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Everybody say the way of escape. The way of escape. I look at our country. It's filled with rage, anger, fury, division, violence, fear, you name it. Our nation is anything but quiet and at rest. But see, they don't know who I know. And I wish they did know who I know. And I'm going to do everything I can to introduce many of them to who I know. But I have found out that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And when I'm going through a trial, if it's a temptation to sin, he opens up a door for me to run through. And if I take advantage of the door he opens up for me and run through it, I am kept safe. But when it's inner stuff, worry, the torment of fear, fear has torment, the Bible says. It's fear, worry, anger, rage, bitterness, unforgiveness, all these negative emotions that can rock your world and ruin your life. If I take the way of escape every day, the way of escape, don't worry about anything, but come to God and in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, tell him what you need. And the peace of God will act like a guard over your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. And while the world is in raging turmoil, you, my friend, will be walking in the profound peace that passes all understanding, because you took the way of escape. You took the way of escape. I take it every day. I'm an escape artist, let me tell you. I do it every day. You say, well, how long should I be with God until you have peace? How long should I spend with God in the morning? Long enough. Don't get up from your time with God until you've got peace. And then, friends, let the world rage. You have peace. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, tested, tried, or pressured, or stressed beyond what you're able. But he'll make a way of escape.
Thanks for tuning in today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. You can also connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. It's no secret that our country has had some extreme challenges over the last year or two. People have been going through depression, isolation, emotional pains, disillusionment, and more, and are looking for something to grab a hold of for security. Well, the answer is not in something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. And that's what this program is all about. So here's how you can help us get this message out. Being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. And we believe that these messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, hardwired.org. 877-884-3111 or go to hardwired.org. Thank you for your very generous gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.